Welcome to the Don and Wing Show. My name is Winfrey. We have Don Newsome as my co-host. And we don't know what we're going to talk about, but we're going to find something. And we're glad you all tuned in to be with us. We have a Wing It, See What Happens show. As those of you who have been listening know, and occasionally something really cool comes up. And tonight we'll be having a special guest, Jean-Claude Colvin, who I've known for a few years, and Don has known him, and he's written a book that, called Going Deeper.
That's correct.
Which I didn't say you could talk yet. Now just stay in your box. Well, that was on. Go ahead, Don. Tell them about the book.
Well, you know, many spiritual people have an awakening period, and I had mine. It's probably different.
You're still having it, aren't you?
Well, of course. I think it's okay. An ongoing thing. But, I mean, an initial awakening means that everything about you changes, and you realize that at a certain point. And I think at that point you've awoken to the newer energies. And a big part of that process for me was reading and meditating and prayer. And, of course, during my, I guess you would say, search for truth, because that's really what it was about, I came across several books, which I read in depth. And one of those books was Going Deeper by Jean-Claude Colvin.
Wasn't that about sex?
Pardon me?
Wasn't that about sex? Going deeper?
No, Wynn, not this time.
Aren't you glad we didn't have Jean-Claude Colvin on the line yet? Huh?
Well, I'm sure he's listening in, so he can berate you later.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you deserve it.
Now I'm in trouble. Okay.
Well, needless to say, folks, we have to really have some fun today with this author, because it's one of the best books I've had the pleasure of reading. And really, it's more like a science fiction book, but it is a very spiritual science fiction book, I think, based on so many truths that the reason I say science fiction is because people are going to categorize it as that. But it is a story about an awakening process. And how that process applies to the universe or cosmos, and what takes place during that transformation. And it's just a book that beautifully unfolds this story and touched me in so many different ways, and had me, what it really did is it got me thinking in different ways. And it allowed me to explore ideas that, for some reason, in the back of my head, I knew those ideas, but I'd never, I don't know whether I knew about them in this lifetime or what, but it set off a string of thoughts that continued to flow within me, and that led to greater and greater awareness. And so I must thank Jean-Claude Colvin for that, because it really was a dynamic force in my life. So again, folks, I'd encourage you all to buy the book. I mean, I know that we'll be talking about the book and we'll be talking with the author, but if you want an excellent book, and I think that one that every person should read, of course, without a doubt, be buying The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, because if you don't, Winfrey's going to slap me. But if you do, but do also pick up Going Deeper. It's just a fabulous book, and
there's a connection between Jean-Claude's book and my book, and I don't know if you're aware of this. I think I told you, but I want to share it because it will be a good introduction to Jean-Claude, and that is my book is called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. But really, there's a far more important, two far more important topics in the book than the fact that Edgar Cayce's back in the world. And one of the things is that the book presents what calls himself a social memory complex, a group soul that goes by the name of Ra and identifies himself as Rana. And in the researching of the book, I found that Ra was being channeled by a woman by the name of Carla Rucker in 1981, and she had this PhD husband and asked all these very phenomenal questions about how the universe operates. And many people have studied her channelings, her Ra channelings, and believe it's maybe the penultimate of channeled material in terms of bringing forth a level of truth and understanding. Now, of course, I say truth and understanding. Some of it is not verifiable. But for many people, it rings true. You know, you use that word, ringing true.
Yeah.
And what Rod talks about in Carla Ruppert's channelings is that our planet has been having a lot of trouble with the evolution of the population here. Now, we all think, you know, the normal consensus reality thinks that life is about being successful, being happy, you know, raising a family, making lots of money, whatever. Well, there's a whole other agenda that is involved in terms of what we could call the higher dimensions on the other side. And they see life as about evolving people towards what we could call God realization, understanding, and then the basic observable trait of God realization is living in what they call the law of one. And the law of one means that you can perceive other people as part of yourself. You've expanded your own inner space where it includes the inner space of everything else. And in which case, you're still separate, but you have this quality of compassion and empathy, which is the law of one manifest. Now, you can't act those qualities out. It has to come from your own spiritual growth. And there's not enough people on this planet that are exhibiting that quality as would normally be expected. And all the reasons for that are explained in the Carla Ruckert material, as well as my book, which reiterates the Carla Ruckert Rob stuff. But what is really important is that on the other side, in other dimensions, there were a lot of volunteers that came here to try to help speed up the evolution of this planet. And Ra calls those volunteers wanderers. And apparently, it's a rather dangerous thing to do, because once you come in, there's this veil that no one can have a body here unless they're impacted by that veil, which makes them forget why they came here. It's kind of like going into a maze and knowing you're going to forget you're in a maze and forgetting that you were once out of the maze.
Well, that's what I loved about going deeper, because it goes right into that, Wynn, remembering who you are and how you go about that.
Now, precisely, Jean-Claude was very inspired by Carla Ruckert's raw material. And he can confirm this when we get him on. As far as I know, most of the principles in the book are derivative from Carla Ruckert's raw material.
Oh,
so
wow.
Did you know that, Don?
Well, I kind of thought maybe there's something there, but yeah, that's good news.
Yeah, and so he decided, I believe, to make it simpler and more accessible.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of hard to understand in the Carla Ruckert
material. Yeah, he puts it in a way that somebody's kind of opening up to possibilities and imagination, and he really put a beautiful spin on it. I mean, I wish I hadn't read it just so I could read it again.
Well, all you have to do is get Alzheimer's and you can read it again.
Well, that's right. In fact, by the way, we're going to be bringing him on here in the next 60 seconds, so I'm going to dial him in, and I'll let you keep talking.
Okay.
All right.
Now, as soon as you say that, I got tongue-tied.
That's why I said it.
Yeah, you jerk, you. So, I've been at a crop circle conference all day today in Tempe, Arizona. And actually, I have a table there, and I'm presenting my book and my Conversations with My Girlfriend book, which I now have in a draft version, my music and everything. And this is a great crowd. But I don't want to go into what I was doing. I wanted to continue with the raw stuff. I know what I wanted to ask. Don, are you listening to me?
Yes, I am, and I'm dialing a number at the same time. Yeah. Can you imagine I got the whole system working, folks?
Yeah, you notice Don's not distorted this week.
We're going to put you on the air right now with us.
I believe Don has put a link to the Carla Rucker channelings on blogging service. And I wanted to ask what page that's on. Don?
Yes, Wynn.
Is there a link to the Carla Rucker channelings on blogging?
Bear with me.
Okay, how are you doing? We're going to bring you online with us.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So I drove from L.A. last night, and I'm really tired. I didn't sleep when you got right to the conference, but it's...
Can you hear us now?
Gee. Yeah. I wanted to say that...
Are you online? Hello?
I'm here.
Are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. It's for some reason I'm not getting the...
I think that one of the things I wanted to say is most people...
Yes?
Most people who are tuning in regularly... to blogging service and to our show, blogging service in general, I would be willing to bet that most of them fit in this category of monitors, people that have come from other dimensions that are
blessed. Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you, but I'm in here as I'm calling.
John? We're going to try it another way, because this...
That was a tremendous amount of feedback.
Yes, we're going to try it another way. I'll phone you in on the other line. I'll have to use... Yes, and I'll phone you in on the other line. I guess, folks, we had another snafu, so maybe I didn't get this thing working the way I thought I would. Which seems...
By the way, it's not Jean-Claude, as far as I know. It's
Jean.
Jean.
Yeah.
Jean.
Okay,
French.
Stay with us. Okay, you there? Are you there? Are you there? Okay, stay with me. We're dialing over.
Now, I know it's so far out, it approaches science fiction. I know when I was first exposed to it myself.
Well, hello. We got everybody online this time.
Oh, hold for 1 second. Be right back.
You bet.
Lock my line.
When I first started learning this, my conscious mind just kept saying, can this really be true? Can it really work this way? And it was reading the raw material, reading Wilcox channelings, and of course, having my own experience with girlfriends that are channeling that convinced me.
You're still going, aren't you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he told me
that...
He said to keep talking. John Quarter, are you on the line?
Hi, I'm Wynn. How are you?
How are you? I'm so glad to have you tonight.
Or as I usually say, roughly fabulous.
Thank you for coming on the air. I'm sorry, I apologize for that. I thought I had it all worked out. We were trying something a little different, but we got it all going now.
Don, you got to stop apologizing. Every time we do a show, you're apologizing.
That's because every time we do a show, I need to.
You're screwing up, right? Okay. Jean-Claude, have you been following? Have you been listening in?
I have. And, you know, thank you for the sexual reference for going deeper. That's probably why the website is at goingdeeper.org.
right.
You can work that out. And also, I've been accused.
I know that's why your book is selling really well, because people are expecting it to be a porno novel.
There you go. I've been told that it was banned in one of the cities in California because of the cover.
You're kidding.
Someone said that. I have no idea whether it's tongue in cheek or actually true. That they wouldn't bring it into the libraries because the committee rejected it because of the title and the artwork on the cover. They felt was a little bit too graphic.
Unbelievable.
Oh, this planet is unbelievable.
But I've seen the cover, and it's, I mean, nowhere close to graphic.
No, of course it's not. Of course it's not. But allow people to go any place they want to go. And if the planet weren't in such a mess, I don't think the three of us would be here.
I agree with that.
We'd be assigned someplace else that was more needy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I heard some of what he said. He's absolutely correct. I read the raw material back in the mid-80s, and it literally sent me into psychic shock. You know, all of us have this beautiful tuning fork inside of us, and every so often we touch something that makes it totally resonate that our lives change irrevocably. And for me, it was the channeling that Carla and Jim McCarty and Don Elkins did. It was beyond brilliant for me. It held the keys that unlocked my psyche.
Mm-hmm. You know what I have figured out is that these people that Rock calls wanderers, which I think are, you know, I suggest that most of the people that would be listening to this kind of show and studying blogging service and reading the kind of books we write would fit into the category of wanderers, meaning they're interdimensional beings that have transcended the need for this density, but volunteered to come here, knowing that once they got here, they would get all screwed up and they'd have to untangle themselves. And the thing about it is that people who fit into that category have cellular memories of where they come from. And when they read the information that matches their cellular memories, it wakes them up.
Good point.
You know, and that's the value of these books, is that if you're one of those people that have the cellular memory of being interdimensional, and you read about it, you suddenly have an aha experience. And these are some of the most important books now. There's very important books to wake those things up, because you need to wake them up to start integrating them. It's not about believing in something or believing in a philosophy. It's about opening your matrix.
Yeah.
Getting out of the matrix of this planet.
Well, how did you start writing this? I mean, how long afterwards did you start writing the book? I mean, it is such, you know, folks, I've read so many books, and I've got a library of spiritual books that is, second to few. And Going Deeper was one of those books that it had so much to do with these planetary bodies being sublogi or entities. And when I went through there and read it and how you portrayed it, it just opened up a whole new dimension in my mind. And I really want to learn, know from you how you and when you got involved in the process of writing that book and what it did for you.
The process started, I think, before I ever came to the planet. It was what I came here to do. I needed to do exactly what Wynn was talking about. I needed to disentangle myself sufficiently from the illusion, from the web, from penetrating through the veil, to begin the process of waking up. I was as much at risk as every other being that came down as a wanderer. And from what Ra tells me and what we read, less than 8 or 9% of us that have come down out of 70 million plus are actually awake now.
Yeah.
And so what we need is these triggers, exactly as Wynn was saying. We need these triggers that become for us the prince kissing the sleeping beauty and wake us out of our sleep. And all of these triggers actually are encoded in books like Wynn's book or Carla's writings or Going Deeper. I would like to say that I wrote it, but in fact I didn't. It was a pure download that took me over. The writing of the book only took 9 months. But the material was so difficult. I don't know, difficult is a funny word, but so unconventional that it literally took 14 months of constant work to edit it, to get it into what you're reading now.
I believe it.
And what I found about the book that's really interesting, you haven't read it yet. You read it once, and it's a total kaleidoscope. Every time I have read, I've gone through it now 7 times, and it'll be 8th time with the next printing. I'm reading a brand new book, and I'm saying, I didn't know that. Oh, my God, that's what that means. Now I'm beginning to understand. So it had within it, still has within it, the keys to unlock my memory, my cellular memory, and reconnect me with why I came. And the other point I want to address as well that Wynn brought out, I'm asked constantly, as I'm sure Wynn is, am I a wanderer? How do I know if I'm a wanderer? And the answer is very, very simple. If you're even asking, you can almost bet the farm you are. If you were not a wanderer, you would know with absolute certainty that this was not about you.
Well, you know, let me just add, there are people who may not be wanderers, but have gone through enough lifetimes on this planet where they're open to this kind of information, and they're ready to take their next evolutionary step by taking this in and considering the possibilities of it. So even if you're not one of those people that have come from a higher dimension and got screwed up down here, you can still find great, great value. Just the fact that you're paying attention and listening to us and tuning into this show indicates that you're at that evolutionary step where this information would be of value to you.
One of the thrills that I get is when I get the chance to go speak to groups, which I do all the time, at book signings or lectures. Every so often, you'll see two or three people in the audience pop. And you actually see the lights turn on around them, and they're irrevocably shifted.
Yeah.
And I get calls and emails all the time about people who have read the book or have had these, listened to, you know, conversations like we're having. And something happens within them, and they irrevocably shift. And their lives from that point forward enter a new dimension.
Well, book certainly does that. I mean, when you, the way it began, and how you lead into the guy, the character, the main character, going basically into the up onto the cliffs, and where he starts taking his first breath, and he starts feeling that breath within him, and how it you know, his whole life starts to take on different aspects when he's being shown various parts of him, or the integration of who he is. It flows so easily on the pages, and it's assimilated so quickly. You know, the two books did the most for me is your book. Believe me, I know, folks, this is strange, and I hate to continually heap praise, more praise, but it's really well deserved, because, you know, there's only two books that started my journey, and I'm sure many of you are aware of how my journey has become and where it's leading, and just by the evolution of what we're doing here at Blog and Service and BBSRadio.com. But Going Deeper was one of the main books, and the other book was, and I don't know whether you've had a chance to read that, was Disappearance of the Universe, which then, of course, took me on to A Course in Miracles and a few others. I'd read many, many spiritual books prior to that, but really those two books, Going Deeper and Disappearance of the Universe, just somehow I clicked. And I how do you thank somebody for that? Because I want to take this time now to truly thank you for what you've given us, all of us. And, I mean, you've put a wonderful, wonderful book on of us, and wow.
Well, it's as Wynn said, we're all one. It's a vast intergalactic collaborative effort.
I would agree.
And we all do our bit. And what you're doing, bringing this out to the world and making it possible, what Wynn is doing, devoting his time and efforts to writing and speaking and everything that we're all doing collectively, is what's making a difference. Our job is simply, it's a piece of cake. Our job is just to change the consciousness of the planet and bring it to the 11th hour so it's still exciting, and get it done just a few hair breadths before the planet destroys itself. And we'll do it. It's a piece of cake.
Great.
Well, you know, I'm with you there. I think you're right on.
You know, the real challenge in terms of getting this out is that, I believe according to the raw material, 1 in 60 people is a wanderer. 1 in 60. Now, a lot of those people they're not necessarily in a club where you can go to that club and say, okay, here's all the wanderers. Most of them are stuck in the matrix somewhere.
Sure.
And all around them is things that support the level of matrix, and it's like they have a seed in them that's waiting to unfold when it hits the right thing. So in putting this out, like as you said, you give a talk, and you know, you see there's a room full of people, and two or three people just light up, and everyone else hears it at another level. They hear it as another philosophy, or they hear it as, however they hear it, but it doesn't open, it doesn't explode their seed. It doesn't cause the seed to grow, because their seed isn't ready for that move yet. So the challenge is you got to keep putting it out almost indiscriminately and let those people that are ready for it rise to the surface and get it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know. It's amazing to me as I reach out and I talk to people personally, how many people, you know, when my book first came out, I said, well, this is for the metaphysical market. And I was emphasizing that because it's obviously Edgar Cayce was a very big hit in the metaphysical market. But, you know, I had an article, an interview in the Northern Arizona University newspaper because the reporter just flipped out when he talked to me on the phone. And there's so many people. In fact, right now, I mean, you know, people, the matrix is falling apart. I mean, what people had hung their future on, their hopes and dreams, everyone's getting the idea that it just may not be possible. Those standard formats for the way one's future was going to unfold, and they don't have anything to replace it except fear. Because, you know, if they don't understand that they're eternal and cosmic beings, and that this life is all there is, and the standard of living in this life, and maybe even life itself, may be in jeopardy with all the uncertainties in the world, a person's going to have to go into fear. If they don't have a cosmology that is real, that they can trust, that explains that there's far more to it than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm kind of curious again that, I mean, you both have written wonderful books. I mean, Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and Going Deeper by Jean, and you pronounce it Jean, right?
Jean-Claude.
Région?
Jean-Claude.
Gotcha.
Jean-Claude.
Well, how is that book since you've read it? I mean, since you've, of course you read it, since you wrote it, how has your life changed? I'd really like to know, because I'm not an author, and although I am starting into a book with my twin brother, how has your life changed because of it? Is it significant?
Oh, extraordinarily significant. My whole life, up to the point of writing and publishing the book, has been in preparation for doing it. Everything that I've done with, I look back, I've been perfectly trained to speak, to write, to be comfortable in front of groups and all the other goodies that go with it. I've also been totally involved with businesses as an entrepreneur all of my life, having started at least a dozen of them. And what I've done is I've shut down all but two, and I've devoted, I would say, 90% of my waking moment to this message, to going out, to working with the book.
Yeah.
And luckily, I don't have to have the book as a major source of income or speaking as a source of income. So I'm thrilled to go out and talk to any group anytime. If two or three people get together and want me there, I'll jump and go.
The synchronicities must have been incredible.
Oh, absolutely. It was meant to be. You know, I look back and it could not have been more perfectly planned, you know, had I gone and engineered it, which in fact I did.
Yeah.
And then as you start to see exactly the oneness of it all, the law of one that Wynn spoke about earlier, and you begin to understand the laws of how the cosmos works and how simple it is, and what we really are is we are consciousness projected into a matrix with awareness, and as we emerge in it, we think that this is all there is. We think that this is our view of reality. And so from where we are, yes, it is fearful. There's no question that it is. But if we get the larger cosmology that Wynn was talking about, now we have options. And one of the other points that I want to bring out as well, what holds wanderers together? What common traits do we have? And looking back, ever since I was a small child, I always knew I was a stranger in a strange world.
I always
knew this was not my real home. I would look out to the stars wistfully. Not that that was my home, but just it was pointing the way to something I did not understand, and none of the adults around me could tell me. I was besieged by allergies all my life. I have, even to this day, feel much more comfortable with plants and animals than I do with most people.
Yeah.
And I always had the feeling that there was something that I came here to do. And the subtitle of the book of Going Deeper is How to Make Sense of Your Life When Your Life Makes No Sense. And when I sit down and really talk to people about what they're doing in their life and how they got on the track they're on, it wasn't serendipitous. They just followed whatever they were told to do, either by circumstance or well-meaning parents or their society. They've never been in charge. And part of them feels hollow. I was very fortunate to have won the business game, for lack of a better term, by the time I was 40. And I remember meeting with a lady that is now my current wife, and I said to her, I'm in big trouble. Now, by all outside perspective, I was as successful as can be on this planet. But when you spent your entire life trying to reach this brass ring on the merry-go-round and you find out it's a piece of tarnished plastic.
Right.
You said there's got to be more than this going on. And it was right within, I would say, a few years of that, that a doctor in Israel came to one of our meditation sessions and said, you need to read this, and brought me the original books of the Law of One and blew me out. In fact, it took two healers from the UK to put me back together again. I was in such psychic shock. And so from that point, it became absolutely apparent that this would be my track for the rest of my life.
You know, that's amazing. There's a lot of similarities there. You know, my life, the same thing. I was on a very wonderful, even keel, doing well. Things are great in my life. I mean, I have a wonderful family and a great business. And, you know, I don't need to do this. But something, you know, when you get to an area where you're comfortable, and you look at the things around you that you've wanted, and you say, you have that hollow, very hollow feeling, because you know you're not, something tells you, you know you're not at the end of the journey, and that just wasn't why you were here. And, you know, when I was younger, I used to think I was going to change the world, I was going to be the next Bill Gates, and I had it all backwards. And we were going to change the world, my twin brother and I, and we're here for that purpose. And, you know, it finally clicked that I realized that I might indeed help change the world, but not in the way I had thought.
There you go.
Because I wasn't a free thinker back then. I was again trapped in the matrix, and everything, I was just reacting. And everything in life, you just want cause and effect, and you don't even know you're creating it.
Absolutely true. And the other viewpoint as well is when you take a look at entanglement and the way it plays into the cosmic hologram, every single one of us changes the world irrevocably. We have no idea of how incredibly powerful and valuable each of us is. And we walk around in tiny little circles, pretending we're lost, needing simply to wake up.
Walking in tiny little circles, I love that.
So our job, our collective job, is to pretend that we're Paul Revere and yelling, the shift is coming, the shift is coming, and try to wake up Lexington and Concord and every other hamlet on the planet.
I love it. It's exactly so. I agree.
And so that's the direction we're moving in. One of the things that we look at as well as we're rapidly approaching the mythical, the 21st of December, 2012, is the fact that we are going through a cosmic shift, that there are bursts of energies that are hitting our planet. We're going through a spectrum, a slice of the cosmos as our solar system moves through, that is shifting the magnetic pole on several of the planets, but it's already moving the magnetic pole on Earth. That's causing not only disturbances within the crust of the planet, but within every single point of consciousness on the planet. And everything is feeling this intense pulling from the center of our galaxy, from our central sun, our black hole. And it's triggering the shift. Just as when Wynne spoke about certain writings trigger for people to shift internally, it's doing the same thing for us. What it's doing for the planet is for the next few years, while we're in the throes of the shift, it's not coming, we're in it. It's holding open a portal that we can go through or not go through.
Right.
Our job, very simply, is to let people know that they now have a choice that they were not aware of before hearing us. If they choose to continue within the matrix, God bless. This is brilliant. I mean, it's a wonderful schoolroom. It's fantastic learning. It's a great experience, and I cannot imagine a more clever way for the Creator to experience itself than to pretend it's here in the illusion.
Right.
I would come back in a heartbeat if I could be of any service here. And there are others that want to say, you know what? I think I've gone as far as I need to go within this illusion. It's becoming marginal for me. I'd like to move on. I'm curious about other things. One of the main points that the book tries to make is a very simple point, but it's so profound that I think I have yet to grasp it fully. That what you see depends on where you're looking from. Is whenever you start changing the point from which you view, what you see shifts completely.
Right.
So you realize that truth is incredibly relative. The only time truth appears to be immutable is when you're stuck. And I tell people, if you absolutely refuse to change the point from which you view, if you have an ism or an ology that so grasps you that you refuse to let go of it, why does it surprise you that what you see never changes?
You know, I have to repeat what you just said because it's such a profound statement. I think you were saying that truth's only immutable when you feel you're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, that makes so much sense. I've never heard it put that way, and it just rings with truth to me. I agree with you.
And I tell myself, if I go to bed believing something and wake up the next morning believing the same thing, no big deal, I'm stuck.
Stuck, yeah.
Stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah, here I am, caught in the illusion. What a surprise. And I watch myself. The beauty of developing the type of consciousness we're speaking of is you watch yourself in the illusion, stuck like everybody else. But then you ask yourself a very interesting question. Which part of me is doing the watching? And you realize, my God, there's part of me outside of the illusion.
Yes.
Now, there's a wonderful formula, a cosmic formula, called AIM, A-I-M. We only own two factors that are really ours. Everything else is illusory. We own our attention and our intention. Where we focus our attention and our intention, that will equal our manifestation. It is a cosmic law that there's no way to get around. You can't evade such a law.
Right.
And if we focus our attention on the part of us that's stuck, lo and behold, we remain stuck.
We remain stuck, exactly.
And if we focus our attention on the part of us that sees us from outside, lo and behold, we're free. I would like to make it more complicated, but it isn't.
You know, it's... I love the way you put that, because truth really is what it is to all of us. And, of course, you know, there is only one main truth, and that's the law of one, that we are all one. But everything else, of course, is the journey. And, boy, what a wonderful journey we're on, too, because we're coming into such a wonderful time period as we enter into this new age of Aquarius. And people, like you're saying, people have the choice now. The portal's open. They have the choice for a better or a different or another path. Let's just call it another path, because it may be better, it may not. I mean, it's just another path, but the choices are open. And it's awesome to see the way lives change because of going on. I mean, we see it now in our current government. We see it now with a lot of people look at these dark events that are happening with confusion and fear and anger, but we can look at it and say, you know, wow, it's just a lot of these things that have been hidden from us for so long are finally coming out in the open, and that's just the sun shining in, the light bearing down and being grounded in these areas where it never was able to shine before. And so it's, you know, it's a wonderful time period we're in.
Absolutely. You know, I want to say that something that neither of you have touched on, but I just want to add it, okay? is that when somebody is caught in the matrix, and they're caught in the matrix because they are there, they've created it. It's a habit pattern, and most people don't know they're even caught because it's the reality of their waking reality.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is when you notice that you're caught, when you can come to the observation of yourself that you're caught and you want to get out, I think it's really important to find someone or some group that you can identify as being where you would like to be. Because by focusing on that, you get the light energy from that group or that person as a reference point. Because you need a reference point, a light that's outside of your matrix that will kind of like be a tractor beam to pull you up. And it's very important to
create that.
That's
a good
that.
Point. Very good
and,
point.
And to find people that you can relate to that are on the same path. Because I know for myself, I knew that I needed to get out of something, but I couldn't create anything. Everything that I would attract to me, even when I didn't want to attract it, would be part of what I wanted not to be in. But my subconscious had such a habit pattern and familiarity with those things that I couldn't bring something in that was out of that. Now, I'll say years ago, there was a guy that was, I would call him a spiritual teacher. I identified this guy as being really out of it, and I paid attention to him. And he wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. He did things that people judged him for, but there was part of him that was out of the matrix, and I could look at him long enough. I could hear him talk. When he would talk, well, this light energy would come in the room. This room would change its vibration, and you know, that had a huge impact on me and my own growth because it gave me a reference point. It's got to be, people need reference points really badly. They don't need ideas. They need something. I mean, maybe there's a meditation group in your town that you can go to.
Or a good book, like Going Deeper or Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Those are great reference points.
Well, those are books. But then you need something in your physical world that also represents being outside of your own matrix. Something that you can find that's outside of your matrix. And you'll know when you find it. I mean, it's not just going to a meditation group and saying, this is outside of my matrix. You'll know because when you intend that particular thing or you're with that particular person, you'll feel a transformation inside of yourself.
Let's talk about that for a second. I'm just kind of curious because you bring up an interesting point that people should look outside their matrix and correct me if I'm wrong here, identify with something outside of their matrix that can help them, correct?
Right.
Well,
right.
I don't know what to think there, and I understand your point and I love it, but is that necessary, do you think?
I think for most people it is. It certainly was for me. You could run a thing and say everything's inside you. You can find it inside you. And if you can do it, fine. I mean, I'm not saying there's not just one right answer.
Right.
To this. But for most people, I mean, you got a habit pattern that's like many
hard
lifetimes.
Break, yeah.
Not just one lifetime, many
yeah.
lifetimes.
Yeah.
And you know. You tell yourself, I want to break this habit pattern. I want to change this. I mean, you know, and what do you do then? You say you want to do it. I would look in the newspaper. Say, okay, there's a meditation group. There's this group. I find a group to go to where I could feel an upliftment of my energy, where I could feel my energy shift because I attended that group. And something that I could go to. Like, I remember, for example, this spiritual teacher that I was talking about. I was really screwed up. And he would be giving me seminars two times a week. And then people would play tapes at their homes. I would, probably 3 or 4 days a week, I would be going out and doing something because I kept falling into my patterns.
So,
you know, And so I needed to get enough kind of positive input so that I could change my cellular memories by an experience,
yeah.
Not just a mental thought. I mean, that was what I needed to do. Obviously, it's a very individual process,
yeah.
And I mean, I watch people that read my book, for example, and I know many, many people get a huge aha experience, and very often, you know, 3 months later, their life has not changed, although they have a memory of something that touched them. They're back in their patterns because they don't have something in their life that they can gravitate towards.
Yeah.
It helps them reestablish a higher level of matrix in their life.
Jean, yeah. If we, I mean...
Does that make sense to you, Jean-Claude?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. There is no question that up until maybe last Saturday, we were in the age of the guru. And it made a lot of sense, and it worked for a lot of people to be in the presence of higher awareness. And it probably does to some extent now.
Yeah.
But what's happened is the shift is so profound, and there's so much energy available to all of us, that we, in fact, are our own gurus if we will make that transformation that we talk about of being able to watch yourself.
Right.
So it's whichever path.
Yeah.
Whichever path works for you, the important thing is not to be stuck or married to one path because of the belief system, but to see where other ways take you and just monitor your own progress. You have to do the work. In the book, the work happened to be voice dialogue. And the character said, look, unless you meet the many personalities within you and master each of these and get to meet each of these and embrace them and incorporate them into your consciousness, you're never going to be able to take the spiritual journey. Unless you meet all of your sub-personalities and own them fully, these are the instruments in your orchestra. You cannot play the music unless you're a purposeful conductor. And in fact, you've never even taken the podium until now.
Right.
That is another view of how it needs to be done. There are plenty of ways to go, but the point is, as Wynn said, you've got to start this journey. You can't sit here with your thumb in your mouth expecting someone else to do it for you. You've got to.
You know, last week...
I agree.
Two weeks ago, I said something that I thought I'd reiterate, because it's remember I said, Don, about breaking your contracts?
Right.
About doing things over and above what your contract calls for?
Right.
Which then changes the matrix level of that relationship. Because the matrix really is all our relationships, everyone we relate to, our family, our neighborhood, our job. You know, it's all within the matrix. It's like breaking the contract would be getting on the bus to go to work and giving the bus driver a box of chocolates, okay?
Well, exactly.
I mean, it would be so totally unexpected. And if you did it out of total, pure, loving intent inside yourself, every time you saw that bus driver, you'd have a change of energy in that relationship.
Well, you said something to the effect that the one law of the cosmos is that... when you give somebody instant, I forget what word you used, but you make him feel good by smiling, and as soon as it instantly comes back to you.
Right.
I think that's what you were saying.
Right. Well, yeah, I said two things. One is that, you know, if you change the way somebody else feels, or you, like, for example, if you're insecure, financially insecure, and you go out and you start making someone else feel secure, even slightly, the security comes back to you. You start to generate an attraction to make yourself more secure. Kind of like that. But,
you know,
that's a way of, like, working within your own matrix and keeping changing it, elevating it by doing those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But it's tricky because you can't just follow a rule, because otherwise you'll be a fool, because you'll do things for people and then they'll take you for a fool because they don't take it in the right way. It's like that spontaneous random acts of kindness that come without any expectation, without any manipulation, that just you can do totally in a spirit of giving. But people, you know, on the other hand, people so often take it for granted very fast, and then suddenly you keep doing it, but there's no more energy in it because it's tricky. It's like it doesn't have to be reciprocated like in an exchange way. It has to be, gratitude is the quality of.
I think gratitude is probably one of the greatest things that people feel. Gratitude.
Gratitude is a spontaneous thing.
Yeah.
It's not something you see. There's human qualities and there's divine qualities. Like appreciation is a human quality. Gratitude is a divine quality.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and,
I do.
And divine qualities come as spontaneous things. And if you learn to read the divine qualities and keep reinforcing the actions that create that, then you will move yourself into living in a divine consciousness.
Well, is John, sorry, I had to interrupt you there, and I love your point, Wynn, but as time's growing short, I was just wondering, are you writing another book? Are you thinking about writing another book?
I write articles constantly. I've just sent one out.
Really?
Working on another one, which is pretty interesting, called Where in the Name of God Did We Go Wrong?
Where does, like, do you just write those for your website, or do you send
them
for a new
website, so people can go there and read them.
At goingdeeper.org?
Goingdeeper.org. The first two chapters of the book, by the way, are there as well, at Wynn's suggestion.
For your new book?
No. The new book the working title of it is Going Beyond Belief.
Oh, I am looking forward to you finishing that book.
Okay. There's a couple of points that I'd like to make, if I may.
Absolutely.
Speaking about gratitude, Professor Emoto, that wrote the book on messages in water, the hidden messages in water, would say that you're absolutely correct, that when you put the word gratitude towards water and love, no two words in combination form more perfect crystals in the water.
I believe it.
And when you use you fool, for example, the crystals would be totally deformed. But the one thing that they found when they did a test is that when you totally ignore the water or another being or an animal or a plant, it fares even worse than if you were angry with it or said derogatory things to it.
Isn't that something? Now, that I didn't know.
Fascinating. And there's one other point that I would like to make regarding the law of one and why so many people cannot understand it and why they're blocked from it. And it really comes from the backbone of the article that I'm working on called Where in the Name of God Did We Go Wrong? We went wrong in naming God. We went wrong in viewing God as a noun and imbuing God with the power of creation. And because what happened is we created separation. When you have a creator and creation, you have the artist and the artist's work, and they stand apart from each other. You end up with reinforcing this concept of cause and effect.
Yes.
Which doesn't work that way. You now introduce space and time as this happens. And all sorts of beliefs spring out and are married to the concept of God as a noun. Almost all of our religions are based on that. And they take us to where we are. Where we are in the world right now is the only logical product of that kind of thinking.
Yes.
But imagine what happens if we make a small shift and move into the law of one by making God not a noun, but a verb. And we now say that God is not in all things, because that again would show separation, but that God, in fact, is all things.
Right.
There is nothing in creation, manifest or no, which is not God. It is all the one. And then you realize that all of creation, as God, is consciousness self-directing. Now, with that new realization, revisit intelligent design, this incredible argument that people are having, is it creation or evolution? And you begin to see, my God, they're both exactly the same thing. If we institute consciousness into all aspects of creation and realizing that it's God self-directing, of course it's evolution. Of course it's creation.
Right. I love the way you put that.
So when you see that, when you make that subtle shift in perception, you begin to grasp the law of one from a completely different vantage point, and you start owning it in your heart, not your mind. And when you learn to think with your heart instead of your mind, everything about your being begins to illuminate and expand.
You know, you're right. It's thing with your heart and maybe feeling with your mind is one of the things that I have always trying to be an activist of. Hello?
You're here. Yeah, there's a line, a busy line. We lost something? We lost a connection?
No. We're all here.
The three musketeers have reassembled. Okay, great.
I really got to say, and we can go over time since this is the Dawn and Wind show. We have no ending point, although we have Dr. Bell, a special live presentation later. I talked to him earlier, and he said we could run this as long as we like because he's probably going to be a little late due to some media production facilities that are over at his place now. And that's story for another day about the media situation. But
you're God. If you buy the concept that you're God, you can do whatever you want.
You know, how true is that?
Have fun.
Well, exactly. You know,
you am all that is.
You am all that is. You know, I tried to get my twin brother to come around to this new way of thinking, and it took him a little bit longer, but he opened up, blossomed a lot farther than I did in a much shorter period of time. And I had him actually read your book, and I think that's when his turning point also came. So not only did your book awaken some very wonderful aspects of my own being, but also my twin brother. So, I mean, it's such a powerful book. I wish people would go out. I mean, again, for the audience who doesn't know the title of the book, it's Going Deeper. And you can pick it up at goingdeeper.org, O-R-G. And it's spelled just like it sounds. I really do. I'd encourage every person to pick up a copy of that book and keep it. And then when you're done reading it, pass it to your family members and pass it to your friends. And just keep it rolling, because the insight that's contained in some of these books that we talk about on the Dawn and Wind show are books that are life-changing. And when you get through them, for many of you who've written in, you know, things are going to just click for you. And we just love to hear about those stories and how it's become a positive influence on your life and how you start to figure out who and what you are and what the greater design is. And
Don?
Yes.
Can you have call-ins now?
Actually, we can't, because that's the line I was going to. I just
that's
tried to.
That's on the
yeah, I. That's why I tested it, because normally we remote host radio programs. I'm not involved. And that allows me to do a different setup. But when I get involved in a show, then I have to rehook up all four outboard mixers, and we can't take call-ins. I thought I'd fix that today, Wynn, but we saw that attempt. another fine attempt by Don. So.
Well, you could do a Phil Hendry bit and just ask the questions, change your voice, and have fun.
You know, we were delighted to have Wynn's ex-girlfriend on the program the other day, and she channels some of the same oversouls.
Jean-Claude, yeah. Actually talked to her once.
Oh, wonderful. You know, I was surprised to know you knew each other, and I kept thinking, what a small world.
Oh, we made it our business to know each other. As soon as I saw Wynn's book and heard about the work he was doing, I think I called him immediately and said, let's get together. He said, absolutely. We met for an incredible lunch, and we've been talking ever since.
Oh, wonderful.
Now, this is a team effort. As Wynn is, will tell you right away, we're here to work together to maximize everything that we can do outside of ego to help this consciousness shift.
Yes.
One of the things that I encourage people to do is you go into any dictionary you want or any imagination and make them up, and find the three words through which you're going to view the rest of your life. And for me, the three words became curiosity, because curiosity is the primal mandate, the driving, impelling force behind all creation. Willingness, because no matter what the universe asks of me, the answer is yes.
Right.
And the third that I picked for me was humility, so that I never think for a moment that the stuff is coming from me. And I ask people to pick those three words for all eternity. Pick the three words through which you want to view the rest of your conscious existence. And it'll be there unchangeable until you decide to change them.
You know, what a wonderful concept.
And those become the filters through which I view everything. And curiosity for me is first. Of all the qualities that I ask people to cultivate within themselves, none to me carries the weight or the value of curiosity.
Did you know that that's what Ra says? Do you remember that in the Ra readings?
I really don't. Is that amazing? Well, it's...
They don't say use the word curiosity, but it comes to the same thing.
Ra
was saying, this is my paraphrase of this, so I hope I get it right. What their best result is from someone that exposes themselves to the Ra material or to Ra, their best result is to inspire a state of seeking in another person.
Perfect.
In other words, the very first step is for a person to realize that there's the possibility that they could be more than they are, and that when they start to reach for that possibility, they automatically bring in new circumstances that help them fulfill that reach.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I have for years, since having read the Ra material, I have for years have had a contact with a higher intelligence. And we chat all the time. I mean, this is my best buddy. It's like an imaginary play child that a kid would have. And I used to ask them who they were, and they would go, Mum. They would never give a name.
Right.
And I would call them the guys, G-U-Y-S. And I asked the guys one day, I said, how come you're so incredibly intelligent? Whenever I ask you, you give me a very simple answer that changes my perspective on everything. What's the difference between you and me? And it was very amusing to them. They said, absolutely nothing. The only difference is awareness. And finally, one day, I got them to a point where I said, who are you? And they said, do you really, really want to know? And I said, yeah, I think it's about time. They said, we're you. And I went, what a silly answer, because there's nothing in creation which isn't me that doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah.
And then I realized, my God, they really are me. It was the higher aspect of myself speaking to me. My social memory complex, as Wynn talked about earlier, my soul group, whatever it might be, the aspect of me in the sixth density that speaks to every being has one that speaks to them in their dream state every night.
Right.
But that aspect was in dialogue with me all the time. Isn't it wonderful to have as your best friend yourself, who knows you 10 times better and more honestly than you can ever know yourself within the illusion, as your personal advisor? And lo and behold, we all have one.
I agree.
The process is simply to reach out, make the connection, and say hello.
And accept that connection.
If you choose not to, of course.
Yeah, give yourself permission for it.
It's your version of free will, and you can do whatever you wish.
Yeah.
You know, and people can say what bunk, and to them, you create your own reality. If this is what bunk, congratulations.
Yeah, exactly.
You're now excluded from this. So you decide to change your view.
Right. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You just excluded yourself from it. Yeah.
You know, people tell me this whole thing, and you look at them and say, you're absolutely right. So what? Nobody can be wrong. If this is what you perceive, you're absolutely right. So what?
Yeah.
What's your point? You're telling me, forget the conclusion. How interesting is it? What is the point from which you are viewing? Let me find that point so I can view along with you. So I can see what you see, as the American Indians would say, so I could walk a mile in your moccasins to begin to understand your perception. So we get caught up in rhetoric on both sides of the aisle, for example, in politics, thinking we're discussing issues. Issues are irrelevant. What absolutely counts is the point from which these people are perceiving it, and what are they perceiving that allows them to be so stuck to create the world that we've inherited. And so the other point that I wanted to make as well is a brilliant quote by Albert Einstein, whom I dearly love. He said, no problem can ever be solved at the same level of consciousness at which it was created. So when we try to take third density solutions to what we perceive the world problems to be, we stumble all over ourselves. It cannot be otherwise.
That's right. That's where history repeats itself.
Yeah. If we can begin to elevate our own consciousness, and from that point of elevation, revisit what we thought the problems of the world were, they would be child's play. We could solve them easily.
Instantly.
And elegantly.
Yes. I agree.
And so there we have it. The roadmap is very, very clear. What needs to be drawn out is the process. How do I go from point A to point B, provided, of course, you want to go to point B? How do I proceed to do that? That's the work that you and Wynn and I have for the rest of our time here on the planet, is to find ways of explaining that in such a fashion that people will say, you know what, this makes sense to me. And we keep trying different ways, and every so often somebody pops up. Somebody reads something, somebody sends you an email and says, thank you so much, it's made such a difference in my life.
Yes.
And if during the course of this entire incarnation, when you're down here, Don, you can touch one person who will make the shift who otherwise wouldn't, everything about your life has become worthwhile.
You know, you're right. It's that's my twin brother Doug says a similar thing. You know, the one thing here is, it's when we touch some, when you put out the information, and when you know you must put out the information, or you choose to, not must, but you choose to, you know, that information can then be accessed, and those that access it, when they change, you know, you don't need to change everybody. You don't need. It's not a game of quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And it never should be. It's always, like Wynn always says, getting the listener that is listening with the capital L.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's a brilliant way of putting it.
Yeah.
Listening with the capital L is a perfect way of putting it.
I don't take credit for that. That came from the Elohim.
Well, my dad said a similar thing. He used to say, you know, son, millions are listening, but I hear you.
Exactly right. And the way to hear is the art of Aikido. You listen, you hold position, and you find the frequency on which the other person is speaking. You draw that frequency into you without blocking it, and now you use that frequency to open up dialogue. That's the art of discourse.
Yes.
As opposed to the art of arguing.
Agreed.
John, if I may, I'd like to donate 5 books to your show tonight. To anyone who goes into your blog or calls in or does whatever you decide that they must do.
Oh, my goodness.
Send me their name and address, and
I'll send out
5 autographed copies. I would be delighted to do that.
I am just stunned. I mean, wow, thank you, because I hope you listeners out there take advantage of that, because and send us an email at contact@blogginservice.com. Or win at blogginservice.com. And those of you that do send an email and get one of the copies, or those of you that are browsing the bookstore, I think Barnes & Noble's, or go to goingdeeper.com, you know, I don't recommend many books, as you all know. And I've read a lot of them, but Going Deeper is one book I highly recommend. And I can't wait till you have your next book out. Now that I know you have articles posted on Going Deeper,
mm-hmm.
I am going to put up some links throughout Blog and Service to make sure that people are tuned over there and can get as much information as they can, because, again, it's about information. We're in this age where instant, not quite instant, but communication is being done on such a wide scale. We're closing into that next dimension where thought and communication is instantaneous. We're just in a scientific mode of it right now. And, you know, when the information's out there, you know, we can now start directing the flow of people on a much easier way. And I'm delighted you told me that, because now, I'll be able to, you know, myself go over and read those articles. Cause I thought, you know, I was even sad when I finished reading your book. I hate to tell you that, because there was nothing else left. It's like a book. Once you put it down, you think, oh, darn it. I wish I hadn't read it so I could read it again. And
if I may, it's really written on a spiral. Every time I've read it, I've gone through it, as I said, 7 times.
Oh, I'm going to read it again now.
It's a brand new book.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot like reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, you know.
The material, we both stand on a very similar foundation in the Law of One. Can we put that out earlier in the show?
Yes.
And what you're taking is some very sophisticated and difficult information, because in the channeling, they didn't know the direction they were going in. They were breaking brand new ground with machetes they had never used before. And the information as it came was so startling and so revealing that it took days or weeks to assimilate, to be able to put it all together. Then to resort that, as Wynn has done in his, for example, and bring it out in a new way so it's organized,
yes,
allows the reader to have a level of appreciation that was very difficult to get when you read the original manuscript, except that the original manuscript had in it all the decoding that worked subconsciously within the body to trigger memory for those people for whom necessary.
Yes.
At the point that it came out, it was, for me, one of the great seminal books on the planet, along with the Keys of Enoch. I mean, it had that same quality to it.
You know, I've read through the whole series, but I never had the opportunity to read the original. I've only read it from the online portion.
Well, that's good enough. You can go through, there are places where the entire Law of One is available online.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's something, Wynn, I think you were telling me about something like that. Maybe you could send me an email on the link so I can have that posted or something, or if anyone knows it, or if anyone in the audience knows
I know David has. Now, let me just tell you it's interesting, because I've read both things. What somebody did, I forget his name, is he went through the, I think, four of Kyla Ruckert's books on the Ra channelings. And in Kyla's books, Kyla is a stickler for authenticity. So what she did is, she didn't change a word, I don't think. I think she just took it right out of the channelings.
Yeah.
But when Donna's asking questions, she's not necessarily following a linear track. He'll jump around to a topic and then jump around to another topic and then go back to that first topic. So there is, you know, if you're reading it, you're getting the resonance of the original work, but you're not getting similar questions and similar topics grouped together. So what somebody has done is they've gone through all of the stuff and grouped the questions and similar topics together, and that's what's up on the web.
I got you.
That kind of compilation. So there's an advantage to reading both, because on one hand you're getting the original resonance and exactly as it was. On the other hand, you're getting the information about a given topic with another question about that same topic and another one about the same topic. So there's more congruity.
Yeah. Isn't Carla going to, I think you were saying she's going to be...
I think she's going to come on and do a show with us.
You
yeah.
know, folks,
be lovely.
That would
yeah.
be another wonderful interview that... You know, considering we just have Jean-Claude Covan on, I don't know how we can top that at all, because this has been a dream come true for me, to be honest with you.
Well, Carla trumps me. She's a beautiful, beautiful lady that I had the privilege of meeting and speaking to several times. I love her to death. She is, her contribution to what she has brought to this planet is immeasurable. She is an absolute planetary treasure.
You know...
You know, people don't realize when the concept of channeling has got far more to it when you're on the inside than one would ever believe on the outside. Because as I discovered and Carla discovered, when you channel, on one hand you could be channeling a dead person on the other side and giving them a voice. And on the other hand, you could be channeling a group soul, which is a multitude of many energies, and they're not all in the same dimensions. One is like close into the earth and the other is celestial. And when you go after a celestial channeling, or when you have that ability to do that, you also go through the negative realm and you get attacked. And Carla almost died from her channelings.
Yeah.
I mean, she was attacked, and the way they attack you is wherever you're weak. And she would be attacked, and it's in the channelings how bad she had it. Some people say that Don Elkins did what he did so that she wouldn't die, because she couldn't, she didn't. It's interesting that the raw energy that came through Carla Rucker was based on both Carla and Don's energy together.
Yeah.
Because he passed away, and when he did, she couldn't get that raw energy anymore. Or she got a subset of it. Or a lower density version of that energy.
Right.
And so,
well, I'm just, I'm just thankful that, folks, I'm just thankful that all this is being made available, because, you know,
we gotta thank you, Don. You're making it available. You're
well,
the guy.
Well, I'm. You know, two decades ago, you wouldn't have seen this. You wouldn't walk into a Barnes and Nobles or some bookstore and see 3-4 rows of New Age spiritual type books, which now the spiritual age, New Age section dominates many bookstores. And, you know, you wouldn't have seen that 2 decades ago. And now it's everywhere you look. And, you know, to be able to have access to so much wonderful information in these changing times and to be on this journey. I mean, if I were to choose 3 words, John, you know, I would definitely have to put grateful in there. And
I would totally agree.
Yeah, and I would have to put, you know, I was thinking about that. I would put joyous, curiosity, and gratitude would be my 3 words. You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I hope many of you listeners out there also take that to heart. Think of those 3 words. What a way to put it into the mindset and to encapsulate who you are, what you want to become, and reflect those attributes. It has been absolute pleasure to have you here with us today.
John, thank you. And I will come back any single time you ask. It would be my honor.
It would be our honor to have you. Wow.
I will talk to you, and when I'll see you soon, I guess.
You know what, Jean-Claude?
Yeah.
We have this ritual for closing the show.
Tell me.
And I'd like you to be part of it, okay?
Okay.
I guess we're ready to close, Don? Right?
If everyone's ready,
sure.
We're ready.
Well, what I do is I do this little prayer calling in the light that includes not just us, but everyone that's listening. And usually something happens when we do that. So it goes like this. Father, Mother, God, I ask for the light to surround and protect each one of us, Don, Jean-Claude, and each person listening, wherever they are, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. I'd like us to share a moment of communion where, of your free will choice, if you so choose it, you allow your soul energy to combine with all of our soul energies for just a moment, and that we all can become more perfect transmitters for that light, that in-streaming light, and receivers, and for the strengthening of this grid work around our planet, and that we can send this light to those people we care about. And those that are open might feel it. We can anchor this light in our homes, where we are right at this moment. We can anchor it so that it stands there as a beam, and that when you walk back into this space, you can remember that energy, and you can feel it as it once again through the rest of the week. We ask this in service. We ask that this light go to those people that are in hardship, those people that are in war-torn countries, those people that have been displaced by hurricanes, those people that have died on the other side, and whose souls are waiting to be reached. We ask that they can feel this light. And we know that we, have the power of creation inside of us to do this. And every day, we can do it for those around us and ourselves. Thank you, and I'm glad to be of service.
Amen, 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 and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Wynn. Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, Jean-Claude, thank you very much. And for those of you that missed the beginning part of our program, go to goingdeeper.org, pick yourself up a copy of the book, check out the website, and read through the articles, get yourself familiar with it, but do pick up a copy of the book. And I'd like to thank you once again for being on our program. It has been an honor and a pleasure to have you with us. I'd like to thank my co-host once again, Wynn Free. It's always a pleasure to dialogue with you. And to the rest of you that are listening out there, we have Dr. Bell coming live next. I hope we can run that for you immediately, but it'll give me a little bit of time to get him online and get this new interview started. But thank you for listening, and we appreciate your support and your love. And by that I mean not your monetary, your support, but your light, your love, your energy. And we hope that you will go forth and spread that to those you know and love, and even to those you don't know and love. Just spread it. And be a light worker for the rest of humanity, and let's keep this thing rolling along so that as we near the end of this procession, things will go as smoothly as it can. I thank you. And Wynn, I thank you.
Well, thank you, Don. Thank you for making it possible, for making blogging and service possible, and dedicating your own self.
Good night to both of you, and it was a brilliant time for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night, and good night, everyone, and thank you, Wynn.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.